Why not send the ring to Valinor? Surely the Valar were powerful enough to destroy it, and it would have saved everyone that long, dangerous journey to Mount Doom. Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium in depth, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. If you're new here, welcome. So, why not just put the One Ring on a boat to Valinor and let the Valar deal with it? Well, like when we looked at the idea of throwing it into the sea, this was considered briefly at the Council of Elrond and then rejected for a couple of reasons. They really did cover a lot of ground at that meeting. The first reason is a very practical one. It's actually what Sauron was probably expecting them to do, so he would make it very hard for them. This is what Galdor the Elf says at the Council. If the return to Tom Bombadil be thought too dangerous, then flight to the sea is now fraught with gravest peril. My heart tells me that Sauron will expect us to take the western way when he learns what has befallen. He soon will. The Nine have been unhorsed indeed, but that is but a respite, ere they find new steeds and swifter. Elrond agrees with this, saying, "The westward road seems easiest, therefore it must be shunned. It will be watched. Too often the elves have fled that way. Now, at this last, we must take a hard road, a road unforeseen. There lies our hope, if hope it be." Already the wise were coming around to the idea that their hope was in keeping it secret, and perhaps counterintuitively, that meant heading east. Yes, Sauron's base was to the east, but he had many spies to the west as well. It had been hard enough getting the ring from Hobbiton to Rivendell. It would be even harder to try and take it back that way. Sauron knew that Valinor was real. He was from there. And he knew that the Valar were real and powerful, more powerful than him. And there were other powerful beings there too. I suspect that Sauron's fear here was not that they would destroy it, but use it against him. So that's the practical reason. Sauron would make that way extremely hard for them. But the more fundamental reason was that even if they had made it to the Grey Havens, got on a boat on the straight path and made it to the Undying Lands, the simple fact was that the Valar would refuse to accept it. Again, we have Elrond speaking. "Gandalf has revealed to us that we cannot destroy it by any craft that we here possess," said Elrond. "And they who dwell beyond the sea would not receive it. For good or ill, it belongs to Middle-earth. It is for us who still dwell here to deal with it." Which is pretty clear. There was no point in taking it to Valinor because the Valar would simply refuse to take it. But why? Well, again, I think there are a couple of things here. First, the ring's corrupting influence was very real and very powerful. Even fundamentally good people like Gandalf and Galadriel feared falling under its spell, and Galadriel came pretty close to succumbing. Yes, the Undying Lands was pretty idyllic, but evil could still happen there, and people could still fall. Sauron fell from grace while there, back in the mists of time. There was the whole sorry business of Feanor and his sons, as well as Morgoth and Ungoliant sneaking in to kill the Two Trees. The One Ring was a threat even to the elves Maiar and Valar who lived there. Of course, they would not want it there. But the second thing requires us to go back to the fundamentals of the nature of Middle-earth, and Arda more broadly. Looked at from a long-term perspective, they who dwell beyond the sea, as Elrond calls them, have been distancing themselves from Middle-earth more and more as each age passes. When the Valar first arrived to shape Arda, they were involved in Middle-earth full-time. Then, after a particularly damaging battle against Morgoth, they built themselves a continent away from Middle-earth and largely just waited for the elves to arrive, with most of the Valar and Maiar hardly visiting at all. When the elves did turn up in Middle-earth, the Valar basically just called them out from Middle-earth and over to the Undying Lands. They built a huge mountain range to close off their home, set traps for the unwary, and imposed a ban on even elves travelling there in the First Age. Yes, the host of the Valar got involved at the end of the First Age, but by the end of the Second Age, they had moved themselves off completely from the physical plane of Arda, only accessible by the straight road. They then made a point of not intervening directly or frequently, as Ulmo had, for example, several times in the First Age. Instead, the Astari were sent to assist the Free Peoples, but not lead them. The vision Faramir and Boromir received was to push them in the right direction, not tell them exactly what to do. The Eagles, messengers of Manwë, might appear every now and then, but only at the very last minute. This was about the Valar stepping back and humanity stepping up. Because fundamentally, Middle-earth was meant for humanity. The Third Age was the age where things shifted. The elves slowly migrated west, magic slowly faded, and man took over from elf as the dominant power on the continent. The end of this process was the defeat of Sauron, which was something that humanity had to do to complete that process, so that the Fourth Age could truly become the dominion of man. This is what Elrond meant by saying that it, the ring, belongs to Middle-earth. It is for us who still dwell here to deal with it. The elves who remained would play their part, but they were no longer strong enough on their own to deal with it. It's not a perfect analogy, but it's like parents letting their teenage children sort out their own problems. The Valar were no longer going to always be there to step in and sort everything out for humans and elves in Middle-earth. It was time for humanity to take full responsibility for their world. So, although this may sound cruel by the Valar to refuse to get directly involved in the matter of the One Ring, it was, in their eyes at least, a blessing. They were taking that last step back from control and intervention and giving the people of Middle-earth their freedom. And they were right, of course. The elves who remained, dwarves, hobbits and humans, were up to the task without the Valar helping out. The ring was destroyed and Sauron defeated. And as Tolkien was fond of pointing out, that world is our world, albeit in a different stage of imagination. So that freedom, we could say, is our freedom. Though it is a freedom that comes with responsibilities. For them, it was facing Sauron and destroying the ring. For us, well, Tolkien wasn't one to allegorise, so I won't either. Why not take the ring to Valinor? Partly because Sauron expected it, so it would be very hard to do so. But mostly because the denizens of Valinor wanted the people of Middle-earth to have the freedom and responsibility of dealing with it themselves. This video was actually suggested by a lot of people in the comments section of my last video about why not throw the ring into the sea, so let me know in the comments here if there's anything else you want me to cover. In the meantime, there are more videos diving deep into the lore of Tolkien's Legendarium in the playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, there's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.